Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for blessing us with another Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us safe all throughout the week and blessing us with your presence and for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can go forth and glorify you. Thank you for keeping your hedge of angels around us as individuals and as your son's bride. And especially thank you for keeping the workers safe as they go about in proclaiming the loud cry. And Father, we lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, and even those that come against us. We pray that you forgive them and guide them back to your son's arms. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you and you alone are being glorified. And thank you for changing the showbread once more on Sabbath day. And we offer up these prayers to you, to the best of our ability, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, where do we leave off? If you're new, you just on the top it says Sabbath Day Study Notes. You click that, it'll bring you down, and we're on question number 21. And it is, what is the Lord's work during this time? And so let me just backtrack a little bit here. Question number 20 was, okay, what happened in Daniel's vision of the judgment? Okay, and so the question is, today, what is the Lord's work during this time, you know, the judgment time? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 3 says, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And the Lord also said, by the way, through his prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 48:10, where it says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So the question is, why does the Lord use silver as a way to illustrate our refining process? Well, it has to do with how a silversmith did his work back when these passages were penned. And they more or less do the same thing today. The only difference is they have computer cameras and stuff like that pointing at the furnace. But back then the miners would bring the silver ore, as usual, which is nothing more than stones covered peppered with silver bits. And nine times out of ten you're not even going to recognize the silver in there because most of you know what silver ore is, I would think. And then the silversmith would throw them into the furnace and crank up the heat to burn away all the useless chunks of earth and rock. And as the rock and the earth melted away, and the silversmith would occasionally look into the furnace to check the progress of the fire. What he was watching for was a puddle of molten silver at the base of the furnace. But it wasn't until he was able to actually see his own reflection in the puddle did he declare that the job was done and he turned off the furnace. Well, in the same way, this is how the Lord is working with us. As we come to him in faith, we have bits of the world all over us as well, just like the silver ore. I'm sure everybody's heard the term, diamond in the rough, right? So, the Lord places us in the furnace of affliction, it says here in Isaiah 48:10. And that's to burn or melt away all the worldly bits so that only pure silver remains. And trials that we go, like a lot of us are going through these trials right now, especially those that are praying to be part of the Gideon band and strive on to that perfection. And and so some of these trials are pretty difficult. As a matter of fact, some of them will actually pile one on top of the other. I've never seen that until the last few years. I mean, years and years ago when I notice the trials that we go through, they were intense, but rarely did they, one pile on top of the other. But lately, this has been the case with a lot of the Christians because the Lord's getting us ready. He's getting all the worldly bits burned off so that we can stand pure. In other words, when our Lord sees his own reflection in us, like the silversmith sees in that puddle of silver, then the work is done. And we have become partakers of his divine nature, and we are numbered in, you know, the Gideon band. It is this perfection that the 144,000 is prophesied to be striving onto and will attain to. And this is why they never see death. Well, not that's not the only reason they never see death, of course, too. It's just it's a victory shout, more or less, when it vindicates Christ as well as declares him victor. When mere humans are able to stand during the time of Jacob's trouble, even though the devil's got every weapon he can muster pointed at us. So, praise the Lord for that. Anyway, question number 22. What will he do to the names of the overcomers? And Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, the only way that we can hope to be overcomers is to daily search our hearts to be sure that we are not cherishing anything that is offensive to our God. We also need to understand that even the slightest sin is offensive to the Lord. After all, how can we expect to be used by a perfect God when we deny his perfection? No, we can never attain to that perfection in the flesh. That's a no-brainer. You know, those of us that study the Word, we know that. But we can partake of that perfection when we allow his Holy Spirit to guide us in perfection. Truth is, we all know where we are weak, and so why not take the knowledge and run with it? I mean, if you have a problem with lying, then simply stop. If you have a problem with overeating, stop. I mean, the list is as long as life itself in regards to the areas where mankind falls short. Still, those of us that know Jesus Christ also know how he has helped us in the past. The only reason we struggle with certain sins today is because of spiritual laziness, nothing more, nothing less. And but still, we can attain to that divine nature or that perfection, but only in Christ, because it is Christ our righteousness. We're nothing but filthy rags. And if we want to wear the white raiment of Christ that is promised to all overcomers, then it's really rather simple, is it not? I mean, yeah, I understand for most it's much easier said than done. But that's one of the reasons for the analogy of the silversmith or whatever, and this is one of the reasons for the trials. I mean, but the truth is, it can be done. We have a long list of men and women of God all throughout history of the church that have attained to that perfection, specifically, you know, like patriarchs and prophets, especially in the scriptures themselves. I mean, they're just humans like the rest of us. Why most of us think we can never reach that measure of faith, especially today when the evidence of God is all around us, is confusing to say the least. I mean, this is the time that all of prophecy spoke of, and we are prophesied, if we are part of that number, we are prophesied to not only have the latter rain upon us, but it falls more abundantly than it did upon the apostles. And it's not just that we're going to get a larger portion of the Holy Spirit like Elijah did after Elijah left. There's just a lot more of us on top of it. You know, it can go either way there. Still, we do struggle because we are at war, and the enemy of souls has been practicing his craft upon mankind for 6,000 years, so he's got it down to a science. Plus, he's an angel, but a fallen angel nonetheless. I don't want to give him any glory whatsoever. Still, we have a mighty God, and even he can't even handle the name of our God. And we have his promised blessings, the Lord's promised blessings, as a reward for anyone with the heartfelt desire to actually receive it. You know, if we want to stand before God in the promised white raiment, which is the righteousness of Christ upon his obedient saints, we must do the work of overcoming today, each and every day. You can't do like, I remember in the 70s they had this button that everybody liked to wear. I'll start my diet tomorrow. You always saw it. You know, I never forget that when it first came out. I thought it was hilarious because that's how it is. I'll start my diet tomorrow, and they're convinced in their mind they shall, but tomorrow never comes. This is not a work we can put off till tomorrow. All too often we convince ourselves we will begin our better walk later, or, you know, after I take a nap, or, you know, or, you know, when I have my vacation, or, I don't know. It's just something. Have we not already educated ourselves enough to realize tomorrow never comes? I mean, it's just an easy way to get us complacent in our hearts. It's an easy way for us to get to the point where, hey, I'm definitely going to. It's kind of like the couch potato that is upset with everything that's going on in the government, but then when he hears Alex Jones talking, he goes, okay, there's somebody out there in my corner. You know, I don't need to get. But Alex Jones is just a Jesuit coadjutor. They know that if the people think they get someone in their corner, they're going to kick back and relax. Well, it's the same thing with anybody else. Like a spouse could think they can kick back because their spouse is doing the work of the Lord, or vice versa. And or the kids, too. I mean, Christ says of the overcomer that I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, too. I mean, that means the names of each and every one of us that decide to give ourselves to God completely are written in the book of life. This also means our characters are right now passing in review before him. I mean, the recording angels of God are keeping track of every aspect of our walk, from the loving gesture to the idle words. Knowing this should make us realize the power of the Holy Spirit. What I mean is, you know, and I know, none of us can stop the great and small sins we commit. We all know how we tried before we came to Christ but failed over and over and over again. I mean, I always get reminded of that as I walk. I don't care how many years I've been, how many decades I've been a Christian. I'm still reminded of what I went through before I found Jesus. I wanted to quit those things that I was doing, and I couldn't. I really honestly tried, but I could not defeat the enemy of souls. It wasn't until after I met Jesus that I discovered how powerful his Spirit is. You know, the sins we used to have such an issue with in the past are gone. But for some odd reason, other sins have cropped up wherein we seem to struggle daily. But have we somehow forgotten how his promises to help us overcome were tangibly real on day one? How would they be any different? I mean, yeah, okay, fine. Some people get a little bit lackadaisical, you know, or they're happy where they're at in their walk and they don't want to go any further. I mean, but have we forgotten how when we asked him to help us to stop this sin or that sin, that every time these sins popped up to tempt us, we heard that still small voice that moved us back onto the path towards perfection and out of the immediate danger at that time? We need to get back to that primitive godliness we experienced in our early walks. The power to attain to it is still just as fresh and just as available to us as it was day one, the very day we discovered it, when we felt that literal weight lift off of us. But because we live on the front lines of this holy war, many of us forget how to trust him like that daily. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." We need to take him at his word, just as we did when we first fell in love with him. Only the names of the obedient children of God who have loved the Lord with all the powers of their being and their neighbors as themselves will be blessed with the ability to overcome. Each and every one of us, seasoned Christians to babes in Christ, know what we're looking at. You know, we know very well what we're looking at when we see the signs of the end all around us. Absolutely every prophecy that speaks of the end of the world are upon us right now. Even the mark of the beast. Okay, yeah, it's not being enforced yet, but come on. You see the drones. You see the GPS tracking on all your cell phones. In your cars, too, actually. They got low-jacking cars now, and they don't even tell the people. And they got accelerator, you know, the things that can, like a cop can pull up alongside of you and just push a button, and your car will slow down. The newer cars are getting that in it now, too. And then they got CT, you know, the closed-circuit televisions everywhere you look, especially in big cities. Another reason to get out, by the way. And every department store or every mall or every building in a big city, they have their own security cameras. And now what happened in Chicago a couple of years ago, they tied in all those cameras with the police cameras. Never in the history of mankind has this been witnessed. They can literally enforce the mark of the beast right now. The only thing we are already creeping on the edge of that cashless society because with cash they can't really enforce it. But you know what's going on. How many of us have a 9-to-5 job? You know, they started this after I went into ministry. Well, actually, I think there were some companies were doing it before I went into the ministry full time. But I'm being told by my children and friends that I know that have 9-to-5 jobs that nobody gets a paycheck anymore. It's automatically deposited in your checking account, and then you have a card. So, years ago, 10, 15 years ago, it would take them anywhere from 48 to 72 hours to shut you down financially. You know, shut down your bank accounts, your credit cards, all that. Now they flick a switch within, 3 nanoseconds? You ain't got a dime to your name. It's all shut down and locked out. They can do this right now. This is all right now. And people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, the mark of the beast might not come for a few years. Yeah, true, it might not. It might take decades. Who knows? None of us know the day or the hour. But the reality is the Lord is letting us know that, look, the prophecies are overwhelmingly accurate. We know what time it is. We have to act accordingly. That being said, we have to also understand that when all these signs are seen on earth, the prophecy also says that there will be a people that will be moved into a state of faith like no other in the history of mankind. And those people will have an understanding of the doctrines we as a church have listed in our statement of faith. Our children know more than theologians when it comes to truth. I mean, they might not have the book knowledge. They might not be able to quote scripture left and right. But our kids know more about the Lord and how to trust him in certain areas than a theologian does, because they can have all the book knowledge they want. They're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Truth isn't something that can actually be taught. It has to be experienced. As far as I'm concerned, I'd love to be able to write a sermon about it, but how do you? How do you tell people that you just know deep in your heart, that, you know, the discernment thing? How do you explain that? It's the Holy Spirit that moves the heart, and a babe in Christ knows more than these so-called theologians today. Yeah, amen. We have the book of God. They have the books of men. And I don't know how many times I run across people on the street or in email especially where they say they read their Bibles. And when I talk to them, it says, you're not reading your Bible. You're reading the helps. Because a lot of people do that. Can you believe that? Especially the people that get the NIVs. They read the NIV, but they also read the helps. And it gets to the point where some people, they just put the Bible down and they read the helps only. So, those people that are striving are going to have an understanding of the doctrines that we have listed in our statement of faith. And that means the 144,000, or the Gideon band, as I like to call them, will have the exact same statement of faith we have as a church body. And it doesn't mean, they don't have to call themselves Seventh-day Remnant. They can be anywhere on the planet. We just happen to call ourselves that because, hey, we embrace the seventh day. We are the remnant of her seed. We know who her seed is, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They were the ninth hour movement. But like prophecy stated in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, and it was confirmed in Revelation 12, 17, they stopped doing the work, so the remnant of her seed had to step up. And one, another reason we got the name Seventh-day Remnant is because if we use the name SDA, we got a lot of explaining to do to people how, well, okay, yeah, well, we believe the original statement of faith of the SDA Church when it first started, but we don't today, because what they do today is totally different. They actually started a whole new denomination. They claim we did, but we didn't. Our statement of faith matches the original SDA statement of faith, but the statement of faith of the SDA Church today is completely different from the original one. And how are you going to, hey, wouldn't it be just easier just to say we're SDR? You know? And plus, if we use the name SDA, they'll sue us and throw us in jail. There's a guy that just recently went to jail in Texas. The creationist SDA guy. I mean, he doesn't believe like we do or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is, it's just, I mean, that priority's in the wrong spot. I mean, I'd rather proclaim Christ end up in jail for that than rather just proclaim a name. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. But like as I was saying, no matter where they're at in the world, if they have the understanding that we have, you know, and if we embrace the truth that we claim to have in our statement of faith, then we're all going to be one in Christ. And then, of course, the latter rain will fall, just like it did when they were all in one accord when the early rain fell. I mean, that being the case, do we not realize that each and every one of us present here today have a better chance than any other church on planet Earth to be in that number? I mean, prophecy speaks of a people that have the exact same characteristics we as a people strive on to. I'm not saying we got him yet. We still got a lot of striving to do, obviously, but we're getting there. Signs were already starting to follow his people. With all these prophetic, spiritual, and scriptural, as well as historic facts laid before us, we would be at a great loss if we ignored all that our Lord is graphically illustrating to us on a daily basis. I mean, he is boldly telling us in his word that we are that people he pours his latter rain upon. And that, when I say that people, I got a page on the website called, you know, Remnant Christian Fruits, and Brother Craig has it also on SDRMinistries.org, and it's on the SeventhDayRemnantChurch.org. This is what I'm talking about. It's like the people of God that will receive the latter rain will have those fruits. And if we strive onto that, and we are those people, we are those that will go forth in the coming days to glorify him like no other. Now, yes, it's true. Some of us will go forward and literally become part of that number. Sadly, as we have seen happen over the years and even recently, some of us will be lured off the path by Satan and choose not to be in that number. But have you also noticed, as this shaking occurs, souls with that desire to overcome leave their church families from all over the world to become part of the church prophecy speaks of. And no, we're not the only ones, like I said a minute ago. I know there are many in different nations that also adhere to the truth as we do. They don't have to be part of the SDA Church to be part of the Gideon Band. They only need to be overcomers according to my Bible. But most of them are desirous, though, yeah, the ones that we've been reading, reaching and talking to lately, and they have been reaching out to us. They want to use the name SDR, and that's fine. But there's still, like I said, there's people out there that just don't know about us. That's fine, long as they know about our Lord. And they have to adhere to the exact same faith. We cannot join unequally. It just can't be done. So I implore all of you listening today, since you already know what time it is, and you know the truth we claim to embrace is outlined clearly in the Word as the faith of the Gideon Band, why not make the decision to allow Jesus Christ to truly be the Lord of your life in every aspect of it right now? You know you hear his voice every time you're tempted to sin anyway, so why not just obey it? Hey, try it. And I'm not saying that there's a bunch of you that are doing this. I'm not, you know, and I don't have any particular name in mind either. The Spirit of the Lord just let me know that we all have issues in this area, me included. We have to make the decision, like Daniel. The angel actually told him, you know, that we already heard your prayer, you made the decision, okay, fine, you're going to walk the walk, talk the talk. But, you know, it took a few days to get to him because of the enemy of souls. So, but still, since we already know that his Spirit moves us away sometimes when we're tempted, and we know, we recognize that. You don't have to literally hear the still small voice. You know when the Lord's telling you what you're thinking of doing is wrong. Since we already know that, why not just obey it and grow in faith so as to receive the latter rain and do that which he created you to do? I mean, what is so exciting down here that would make it worth giving up all eternity for, wherein there is perfect peace and no problems whatsoever, no sicknesses either? There is a great work to be done for many of us. Our minds and our characters must become as the mind and the character of Christ. I mean, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, we must let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. No special work for God can be accomplished unless self and selfishness are completely overcome, brothers and sisters, and you can't get to heaven by pulling out a spiritual hammer and nails and building, you know, a stairway to heaven. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's Christ our righteousness, and righteousness by faith. Just live your life and walk in the law, you know, like acknowledge, you know, the Ten Commandments, of course, and do what you know is right to do. And eventually the Holy Spirit's going to move you one day. You know, why don't you just do this today and then do that tomorrow and then do this today or whatever. Before you know it, you're going to be doing ministerial work. And you don't have to quit your 9-to-5 to do it. I mean, I did ministerial work for 17 years before. Well, he started asking me to quit my job 15 years, and I dragged my feet for 2 more years because I had a lack of faith. Because I was wimpy. But, I mean, either we overcome and reflect Christ to all those he sends our way, starting today, or we will be in danger of becoming those that prophecy also speaks of, that will die at his appearing. I mean, all too often we allow our flesh to guide us off the path set before us. I mean, people are dying all around us. I mean, they're dropping like flies that will never gain heaven unless we awaken to the duty we have been called to, to perform. When we deny the flesh and our hearts are filled with the love of Jesus Christ, those souls for whom he died will be blessed with the testimony we have been called to live and to share. Absolute success will attend our labors like never before. Never before. And I can remember one time when I was working a 9-to-5 too, and a guy came up to me and says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He says, "I've been handing you the lousiest leads in the office because you're the new guy. But you're making sales left and right. What does it say in the Word? Everything we touch will be blessed, right?" And that's what I told him. And he says, "Yeah." And then he was a Christian. I found out later that he was a Christian too. But Sunday keeper, but still, you saw things. You don't even have to speak sometimes. People are watching you. I mean, the labors that we do now, they're being blessed, yes, but they're going to be blessed like never before. And in so doing, we will not only be blessed with the white raiment as promised by our Lord, we will become a powerful tool in the hand of our God to bring millions into the arms of Christ, to have their names entered into that book of life that started this this question. What was it? What will he do to the names of the overcomers? Yeah, Revelation 3, verse 5. I mean, we have a mighty duty, brothers and sisters, and thanks to the power of the Lord that we trust and worship, we are prophesied to be used by him in a mighty way, but only if we are obedient to the call that is proclaimed in these last hours of Earth's history. Hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.